If you've never been in one, it's impossible to know what it's like to be in an earthquake when suddenly the very ground you're standing on is no longer secure. The foundations of your home shift. Things you've taken for granted, no longer there. I have never been in an earthquake. Perhaps you have. But with all of us, I suspect every single person here knows shocks in our life we sometimes call earthquakes. Back in June, I was in France. Big earthquake. All of a sudden, overnight, the status of the rest of my family, no longer quite as certain because of their Austrian passports. You know, the Brexit vote changed everything. Some of you I know have been living with that precariousness for many years. Earlier this month, another earthquake. Overnight in the States, a decision is made and seismic tremors spread out across the globe. Who would have believed that the American company who make Toblerone could smallen the size? Incredible. We know what earthquakes are like. 2,700 years ago, a prophet called Isaiah, he makes no mention of Toblerones. That's not God's words. They were invented shortly after he wrote. He's speaking of earthquakes that, if this is what they look like physically, this is what it felt like politically and spiritually in the nation of Israel. The last weeks, we have been thinking about what the prophet Isaiah, writing God's word 2,700 years ago, what he was speaking and how it speaks to us today. There was an earthquake as seismic as this one nationally, the whole nation of Israel and the surrounding nations. Things were extremely precarious as nations, huge empires indeed, gathered on the borders of this tiny country, assuming themselves to be God's people, who they were, and yet many of their people taken into exile. The prophet Isaiah lifts the lid, as it were, unflinchingly on the darkness, the precariousness of the nation of God's people. Not only nationally has there been an earthquake, spiritually there has been one. Isaiah chapter 59, just before the reading we're about to hear this morning, it says this, that God looks for someone to intervene. Isaiah 59, verse 16. God is looking for one person, one righteous person, to intervene in the spiritual devastation that he's lifted the lid on. As the whole nation has turned away from God to the idols of other lands. And Isaiah chapter 2 says this, as an indictment against the whole nation. You bow down to the work of your hands, to what your fingers have made. A day of reckoning has come. It's a humbling day. We might live in precarious times today, but it's nothing compared to how the people Isaiah was writing to felt. Today is Advent Sunday, and the candle lit on our Advent wreath represents the arrival of the one qualified to intervene, Jesus Christ. He's going to describe it, we're going to hear, as like the sun rising, the dawning after a dark night like this. And what is true nationally for Israel 2,700 years ago is true personally for you and for me. A light is dawning. The candle you received when you came in, unlit, represents the precariousness of your life and mine. Because I'm guessing that you know how one moment, one email, one event, one shock can seem to blow out our hope. But God's word says to us, a new day is dawning. He is speaking his hope into your life and mine. Ian comes to read it for us today.
Good morning, church. So today we read Isaiah 60, page 746. The glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness and over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you, and your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the sea will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, your camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offerings on my altar, and I will adorn my glorious temple. Who are these that fly along the clouds, like doves to the nest? Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish, bringing you the sons from afar with their silver and gold, to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. This is the word of the Lord.
In a landscape where nothing is certain, in lives where we're in the dark, this is the message of hope that's certain, that is unshakable, it's inextinguishable, it is eternal then as for today, as forever. God's light, like a new dawn breaking into darkness. Isaiah is speaking to a people who desperately need the light of hope. They haven't got any of their own that's left. The lights, as it were, have gone out. 2,700 years on from this message today, in a few minutes' time, I'm going to invite anyone in a darkness of whatever kind to come forward and light your candle, whether your light has been extinguished by an earthquake in the past or the threat of one in the future. God is inviting still today, you and me, to arise to shine with a light not your own, here from the Advent candle representing the one who has come. A few weeks back in this church, just after a wedding service I had taken, somebody who was at the wedding I was talking to, I was asking me about this church, and they said, All Saints Peckham, you're a happy, clappy church, aren't you? I don't think it was a compliment. So I went through my mind and quickly reviewed in a split second the years of intense vicar training you get. Nothing there how to answer the happy, clappy question. So clearly assumed it wasn't one you were going to be asked in the Church of England. So I'm making it up as I went along. I said, well, yep, sometimes at All Saints, we are happy. I hold my hand up to that one. Following Jesus Christ and being happy, not mutually exclusive. And sometimes I said, we do clap. Never after I've been preaching, but we even clap a donkey. So yes, happy, clappy, I suppose we are. Here is the thing. God's promise today, Isaiah chapter 60, is one that is meant to make God's people then, today, in every age, happy, to break out in great applause. but not in the happy, clappy sense. This is how I understand that you live in a happy, clappy bubble. Do you know what I mean? Disconnected from real life. God's word connects with the darkness, with the mess, with the trouble, with the earthquakes, big and small, of real life. And the happiness that God's people have, the applause they are invited to break out in, is not in a happy, clappy bubble, but because of the light of Jesus Christ. Women and then men coming in the darkness of an Easter morning to a stone-cold tomb had experienced an earthquake of their kind, and the light and hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ breaks into their darkness. This is the message of Advent Sunday and every day, which is Easter Day, having experienced Good Friday, the darkness that we go through. What is true for the nation of Israel in 700 BC, in their place of total darkness, is true for you and for me. As the 12 people baptized in the center of the church, who gave sometimes just a couple of lines of their journey of finding Jesus, and spoke or hinted at dark places they too had been in. Israel is in a dark place, and this picture from God's word of the dawning light on the darkness, darkness covers the whole land. This picture of peace, of other nations coming to the light, the economic ruin they find themselves in, utterly transformed by trade now coming, the sin devastation caused by a land that's turned to idols, sought glory apart from God's glory, forgiven and healed. God's word is about lifting the lid on the reality of darkness to shine his light into it. As Mike mentioned in the sermon last Sunday, a brilliant insight of AA and groups like them, such as our men's support group, is the first step of receiving the light, the healing light, is to actually lift the lid on the reality of darkness. And this is what God is doing for through Isaiah. And each of us, in our own darkness, whether it's a darkness caused by circumstances, earthquakes, deep shocks, or whether, like Israel, it's a darkness that's self-inflicted, caused by going the wrong way, the darkness of sin. The promise of the Advent light, Advent, a word that means coming, that represents the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, and his presence has never left it. His presence has never left it. On a dark Easter Sunday morning, it's what the disciples discovered. The light of Christ has never left. Arise, shine, your light has come. God's light is there to bring his healing. No darkness can extinguish his light. And if you believe that, even if it's with faith as small as a mustard seed, I'm inviting you in a moment, if you wish, to bring your candle to the Advent light, the light of Jesus in our earthquakes, and to simply light it, a way of responding to God's word, arise, shine, to receive and then reflect a light not your own. As the moon in the night sky shines with a light that doesn't come from it, but reflected from the sun, that's the invitation of the light of Christ, to reflect his light, to receive it and reflect it. Your unlit candle could be an earthquake or a tremor, of one caused by a shock. It could be an illness. It could be a burden you carry for someone else. It could, as was the case for the people Isaiah is speaking to, a darkness you've caused. Today, Advent Sunday, is a new day when you can shine with a light not your own. As the worship bands come forward now, you can come forward if you wish to. You might be the only one. It's like last week's baptism. If you were the only one being baptized, we'd do the baptism for you. You might be the only one for whom this is right. But if it is, you can come to light your candle. And the prayer team will be on this side over here to pray with you for anything specific you would like to mention. Would you please stand with me? And just taking that unlit candle, which represents the light that the whole world needs, and maybe you specifically need this morning, I'm going to pray for us. Lord God, our Father in heaven, every one of us here is born to reflect your glory, to reflect your light and be a blessing to others. It's your purpose for us. And today we are simply bringing to you the places in our lives where your glory has gone out, like our unlit candle. Maybe through things we have done, things we failed to do, or things that have been done to us. Earthquakes of whatever kind. Lord God, restore us again. May your light heal us, that we may shine once again with your glory. We worship you for your light.